Now, broadcasting on Star Worldwide Networks, it's time for the Fashion Rewired broadcast with Brian Hill. During the Fashion Rewired podcast, we chat with successful fashion designers and business entrepreneurs who share their powerful stories of success while providing real-time industry tips, tools, and actionable strategies to execute today with the goal of designing our listeners' brands for success. Now, here's your host, Brian Hill.
Welcome to Fashion Rewired. I'm your host, Brian Hill, self-taught designer and executive director of Phoenix Fashion Week. So why is it important to rewire? Well, I believe that every successful fashion designer and entrepreneur at one time or another made the smart and necessary decision to rewire their brain, their attitude, but most importantly, their actions to get them to their current level of success. Each week, I get to share stories of transformation with our listeners while giving you the blueprint to rewire. I love to open each episode by thanking the sponsors that believe in Fashion Rewired. The Phoenix Fashion Week Freelance Program. While building Phoenix Fashion Week into an effective fashion industry resource, we have been asked time and time again to recommend the services of our teammates and associates. So the natural next step has been to organize a system and network of fashion professionals that we could vouch for in the marketplace. The Phoenix Fashion Week Freelance Program is open to anyone needing fashion design, hairstyling, sales representation, photography, graphic design, web design, marketing, social media, styling, makeup artists, accessory design, videography, modeling, PR, event planning, and consulting. For more information, please email freelance@phoenixfashionweek.com. I'm really excited. My next guest, fashion designer Joanna Deshay, currently based in Phoenix, Arizona, is a proud immigrant born in Ghana and raised in Liberia on the west coast of Africa by her Nigerian father and Russian mother. Growing up, Joanna was always heavily influenced by the rich and exotic people, cultures, and textures that surrounded her daily on that fabulous continent. Fashion has always been in her blood, but succeeding in higher education early in life after graduating from Arizona State University with a master's degree in management, immediately the corporate world came a-knocking, and Joanna answered, eventually giving 15-plus years to corporate America. Later in life, Joanna decided to chase her fashion dreams by first gaining another master's degree, this time in fashion design, and then smartly pull from her unique roots and create her unique brand, Black Russian Label, a women's upscale clothing brand for the globally chic woman who was unapologetic, bold, and empowered by her style. Socially, Joanna wanted to be part of the solution and help disrupt the fashion industry and create new narratives from a fresh, more inclusive perspective. This new entrepreneurial freedom, Joanna backed her alma mater, Arizona State, this time as a fashion educator, teaching what she loves within the Herberger Institute of Design and the Arts Fashion Program. Oh, and did I mention she's also the mom of two amazing young men? Joanna, how do you do it all? Seriously.
I don't sleep, Brian. I don't sleep. Sleeping is overrated. I'm just kidding. No, thank you.
Wow. When you hear that little quick synopsis of what you've done in such a short amount of time, how does it make you feel?
Overwhelmed, believe it or not. It's really kind of, it's awkward to hear someone kind of read your litany of things you've done, but then it's kind of proud. You know what I mean? Because I am living the life I dreamt about, you know, some 15 years ago. So it is now a path that I walk. So yeah, it's great to hear it read. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah, you should be proud. You know, when we talk to fashion designers, I want to hear one fun fashion fact about Joanna Deshay that nobody knows.
She's a chameleon. I can go from rocker girl to ballerina slippers all in the same day. And it is really contingent on my mood, you know, and that's the beauty about it. The expression that I get to, you know, to play with in fashion. So that's what people see me and go, wait, is that a leather jacket? What is going on? So yeah, she's a chameleon and she loves to change her style almost daily.
Oh, I love that. Love that. Well, man, we had some discussion about rewiring, you know, in life things happen, yeah. Good, bad, indifferent, who knows? But sometimes you look in the mirror, you decide to go a different direction and do some actions and set some things in place, right, that you want to do things differently. Can you take us back to Absolutely. When you had one of your rewires in life and tell us about that?
Absolutely. You know, it really goes back to when I left my corporate American job. For so long, I mean, I'm the parent. You know, I'm the parent that was always telling my kids, live your dreams, do what you love. yet I wasn't following that advice, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, do what you love. I mean, I'm going to do this. I don't love it, but it's a means to an end. Mm-hmm. And I remember that so vividly, Brian, sitting in the parking lot outside of my corporate office, and I had to literally gas myself up, geek myself to go to work. Mm-hmm. That's when you know you're not walking in your path, right? I was good at what I did. I'm going to be good at anything I do because that's just that Nigerian in me, you know what I mean? So we're wired for success that way. But I didn't love it. And I remember saying to my kids, you know, do it early and make sure that you carve out a path. And when you do what you love, it won't feel like work. And I really made the decision that I can't tell them that because they were very young without demonstrating it. Because no matter what I say, they will always look at what I do. Mm-hmm. And those actions are what they will follow. So that was it. I went into a corporation, you know, that I had been with for 10 years. I was on, you know, the executive team, you know, and tracked for VP level. Mm-hmm. And I said, I have to go. And literally, Brian, everybody thought I was insane. And the crazier they thought I was, the more I knew I was on my right path.
Sure.
And it was great because I left the job at the peak, you know, which is great, you know, without having to, you know, burn any relationship, burn any bridges. And I knew I could always go back. So for a lot of your listeners, nothing is finite, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's like if you leave now and you figure out that life takes you down a different path, you can always go back. But if you don't try now, then when? Mm-hmm. And I had never left fashion. You know, I would work all day, go home at night and sew. Mm-hmm. But sew for, you know, oh, I'm going to put this out one day. And it really wasn't until you approached me, Brian, those many years ago and said, what are you doing? Let's show the world, that I had to say, I have something to say. You know, from a design perspective, I have something to say, and I have to say it now.
Sure.
And that was my rewire moment to look in the mirror and say, you know what, Joanna, you have to go. You have to go, and you have to try, and you have to bring this brand to life. And that was really it, Brian, and it was probably the scariest and most exhilarating thing I've ever done in my entire life.
Oh, man, I just got goosebumps when you just said that. I mean, seriously. When you talk about people saying you're crazy, and you said the crazier they said you were, the faster you ran towards your dream. Like, I love that. That's going opposite, you know? And everybody likes to be in the comfort zone and be soft and cuddly. But you're saying, you got to go opposite of that. Opposite of that.
You have to. Man. You have to. And it's going to be scary.
Sure.
And here's the thing. People are like, oh, my gosh, you're so brave. I'm like, I am scared every day. You know what I mean? Every day I make a call to a buyer. Every day I call another designer. Every day I speak to, you know. But doesn't mean you don't do it. It means it's okay to do it scared.
Yeah.
That's it.
I was going
to
say.
It's okay to do it scared, but do it.
it will be scary, and I'm still scared. I love that. So when you sit in that parking lot, and maybe it was that moment when you said, I'm going to do this, I'm going to rewire, and you walk and you talk to your manager, your boss, whatever. But once you knew that it was off and you were leaving corporate America, I want to talk about what was step one to bring the Black Russian label to fruition. What did you do next? Like, did you drive home first? Did you get a cupcake? What was the first step you did to really go in a new direction?
You know what I did? I literally just went home and hugged my kids.
Mm.
I laid with them, and what I said was, looking at them, what kind of life do I want for them, right? And how am I going to curate this life with purpose?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, because I just don't want to live. I don't want to exist. And then shortly after that, I started writing down, Brian, literally, what do I want to change in this space?
Mm.
I don't want to just be another designer. I want to change the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, every day I would write down, I want it to be more inclusive. I need to see more people of color.
Mm-hmm.
I wish fashion fit differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just kind of started, and that became, over time, the ethos of the brand.
Ooh.
It became what the brand stood for, and I never deviated from it.
Mm.
People would say, oh, you should make swimsuits. I'm like, I'm not a swimsuit designer. There's some amazing swimsuit designers. I'm not her.
Right.
You know what I mean? And people want you to design shift, like mission shift, you know, and like, oh, you can do this. Simply because you can do it doesn't mean you should.
That
does it
true.
Align to your brand? You know what I mean? People are like, oh, I can make any. Sure, I could make dog clothes if I wanted to, but that's not what the brand stands for. And there are some amazing designers out there that already do it. So you've got to really walk your path, stay in your light, and don't design shift, as I call it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And just kind of, as the wind blows, that's where you go. You'll never be successful that way.
Right. Chasing shiny things is something, right?
Ooh.
And you just can't do
it. Say it, Brian.
Yeah. Just because they said it on CNBC or someone said it in Vogue or whatever, you can't do it. First of all, if you read it in Vogue, it's too late anyway, right? So that was a season ago. That was a season ago. But you can't.
Right.
And because you're talented, I know you're talented, you could make everything. There's no question. But you simply can't. You got to own this Black Russian label path and kill that, right? And then slowly move.
Right.
But embracing your family first, that's been the first time I heard is an action step. I'm going to put that down. You embrace your family and share it with them. Then you created your ethos. This, I want to really make sure everybody understands this. You wrote down what you wanted to do before you did it. And then you stayed to it. Well, if you can read what it says, and Black Russian Label should do this, it makes it easier for someone to say, well, what about that? You're like, it's not in my ethos. It's not in my ethos.
Right, right. Not aligned.
Yep.
Great idea, you know, but not aligned. And that's the thing about writing it down. It kept me accountable.
Sure.
You know, so before I had anybody implement any ideas of what I should do, oh, this is really hot right now. You should do this. And I'm like, it's not what I want to do, you know? And that's really important. When you write it down, and then not only write it down, Brian, revisit it.
Sure.
Go back when you're 2 years in, 5 years in, and say, what did we say we wanted to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was cuddled up with the kids and writing my notes that, you know, what did I say I wanted to do?
Right.
You know, and does this align to that? And I think that will ground you, but it'll also give you purpose and direction, which I find a lot of young designers don't, they don't hone in on that. Like, what's your purpose?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's your why? I love, if you've ever heard Simon Sinek, who is amazing, by the way.
Yes.
He has a great TED talk called Your Why, like knowing your why.
Mm-hmm.
And he says it all the time. People know what to do, and a good other number of people know how to do it, but very few people know why they're doing it.
Right.
So if you can just get closer to that why and writing it down, it's kind of one of those first steps.
Yeah, I love that. Simon Sinek is a book that's been recommended by many, many of our guests on the podcast. And we're going to get to a section where we might add that book for you. You might have another book as well. Okay, so now you've got the ethos on paper. You now have left a six-figure job. The kids are like, okay, thanks for the hugs. Now
right,
what?
Now.
Yeah.
What, right.
What was step three to launch Black Russian Label?
It's to remember that I'm launching a business.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And all of the business acumen that comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I started to think about how do I register the name? I mean, those are some of the first things I invested in, you know, getting a trademark for the name and ensuring that I had the rights to use it, registering the business, you know, with State of Arizona. I thought of it because that's just my business background, right?
Sure.
I'm not just doing some fun thing. It's not. So before even a single design idea, Brian, I wanted to ensure that it had a good foundation.
Sure.
You know, that it, you know, it was registered and you know, it was something that the state recognized as a business.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to think about, like, how do we set the frame? And then I also went and did a little bit of market research, meaning, who do I want to be like?
Mm-hmm.
Whose brand would I hang with? You know, as buyers always say, who would you hang with? What are their price points? Those are all the business things before you get to, because the designs were abundant. I mean, I was up at night just sketching my little heart out.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't worried about whether or not the designs would come, you know, and I always tell this to young designers when I work with them, Brian, spend the time getting ready, right? You know what I mean? Or staying ready. So you don't have to spend any time getting ready.
Right.
You know? So if you have everything, because if a buyer comes to you and says, love that dress, love that jacket, love that suit, want 300 of them, are you in a business space to be able to fulfill that order?
Right, right. So step three was you built an actual business. You actually did. Now, that for sure goes back to your corporate training. But I think you would have done it regardless of corporate training or not. But and then I love that.
Absolutely.
And then maybe a fourth one, you know, which I'm okay with going four steps, is to do some real market research, see who you would hang with, see what's missing in the market, and try to fill a void if possible. You and I both know, is there anything new in the, under the sun? Maybe not, but maybe a new way of doing it, a new approach to that, right?
Correct.
I love that. I love
Absolutely.
We know that when entrepreneurs do these action steps, right, like you did, you embrace the family. Like, first of all, just understand that. Like, you cared about your family enough to share with them. That's important, right?
Right.
Then you wrote down.
That's my why.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Then you wrote down, you actually put your goals and everything together and built your own ethos beforehand, your guiding light, so to speak. And then you went and built a real business, which is trademark, trade name, TPT license, all the different things that nobody really wants to do. But there's a nice checklist somewhere that you just did it. I'm legal. Here we go. If you look back now, tell me some habits that came out of those action steps, Joanna, that you still adhere to. Habits that came from those action steps early on.
So is always making sure that I know where we're going. So the other part of it is, once we got past that, and habits is, I'm always doing market research. I'm always, always, I stay in that space. You know what I mean? A lot of people go, oh, it doesn't matter, you know, what other people are doing. Yes, it does. It absolutely does. And the kiss of death is to tell a retailer, you know, that, oh, I'm so unique, I'm not like anybody else. What you just did is you gave them a headache. You just gave them a problem, right? Because they're planograms and spaces that are already designed. So they're, if they're thinking, oh my gosh, I don't know where to put this brand, guess what they're going to do? They're going to pass on that brand. So the one habit I stay consistent on, Brian, is market research and also honing my own design skill. You know, I never get to the point where it's like, oh, I don't need to be, you know, aligned with any organizations. I don't need to learn this. I don't need to. I'm always learning because part of it is to ensure that I'm always top of my own game. So I'm in competition with myself. You know what I mean?
That's a high bar.
I'm always saying, Joanna, do you know how to? That is. But you know what? That's the one thing. I never want to get complacent. I never want to get to the point where I'm like, oh, I know everything. I know how to do that. I know I may not, but somebody may teach me a different way how to do it that could save me time. And you know, time is money.
It is.
So, you know, it's the one commodity none of us have enough of. And so I'm always, and that was early on, in that grind of research, I still do it. And I enjoy it because I get a good, accurate pulse on the market. And so it's a habit that I have not, you know, I have not deviated. I don't leave it up to people to do.
I love it.
You know, some people will have trend research companies and like, tell me, I want to see it. I want to feel it. I think that's the educator in me. You know what I mean? I'm always learning. So
I love it. Always learning, always staying sharp, always researching the marketplace where you're in. And also making sure you always know where you're going. Like, those are some habits that, again, in any industry, any age, people can adopt these right now. And, you know, we talk a little bit about you being at Nike HQ, hanging out with Tory Burch, all the big dogs, right? I was going to say, what's the largest accomplishment that have come out of these habits? Would you say this past week? What's the biggest accomplishment that have come from these habits, Joanna?
You know what? It is actually seeing that the brand could change the narrative, really. And I have to tell you, so right now, the big thing that everyone is talking about, we heard this at Nike. Nike had a whole section on this, which is equity in the fashion space, right? Changing the folks that we are promoting, changing. And that's so funny. That's been the ethos of my brand from the beginning.
Right.
So one of the biggest accomplishments this past week was I had so many aha moments because it was like, oh my God, I'm aligned.
Yes.
You know, it took time because the fashion, you know, industry had to catch up with it. But now it's something that they are chasing feverishly. Even Tory Burch said it in her opening remarks to us in her, you know, we were in her actual studio space and Tory was sitting right in front of me and she said, I am about creating space for more women and especially women of color because it's time. I want fashion to be more inclusive. Tory Burch.
Yes.
She doesn't have to, but she's an ally and she understands, right, where this market is going. So the biggest accomplishment for me was knowing and recognizing I have alignment, right?
Right.
The purpose of the brand, what we stand for, is now aligned to where the market is, where the fashion. And what it means is that doors are going to open. You know, we're sending some product to some retailers we met with, names I can't quite say yet.
Okay.
And even Tory. Yeah. So it's some big, you know, some big movements there. And even Tory said when we, you know, got a chance to speak with her, I spoke with her and she said, you need to sign up for my program that I have. She has a great designer program that she does. $75 million they've given from her foundation. And they are looking for designers that are female and, of course, women of color. And she wants to really just change and shift the marketplace, which is tremendous. So we're going to say she just started a new cohort. But next summer, definitely, Joanna will be Joanna will be a Tory Burch, one of the cohorts in her program. So I'm looking forward to it.
More goosebumps for me. I mean, I can't wait for next year. It's going to come so, so fast. I told my producer, Robin, that Joanna is amazing. I know her and I are going to be good on this. We're killing it. This is amazing. You won't believe it. You won't believe
Thank
it. But we're at the halfway point already.
No way. Really?
Yes,
oh
we
my
are.
Gosh.
I know. I know. So you're going to hang out for a sec. I'm going to go thank my sponsors and come right back to you. Okay.
Sounds great.
Get
Thank
ready
you.
For the get ready for these rapid fire questions that we call the Garment District. Hang on one sec. Fact: each season, Phoenix Fashion Week turns away hundreds of emerging designers that apply for the live designer bootcamp. This year, we created the 6-week-long digital designer bootcamp, where emerging fashion talent from around the world and from the comfort of their own home via mobile, laptop, or desktop will follow a structured curriculum online focused on the very important business side of their brands. In a short 6 weeks, the fashion experts will teach, transform, and lay out the blueprint to build and run a successful fashion brand beyond the runway. To apply, email digital@phoenixfashionweek.com. And we're back. This is Fashion Rewired, the podcast. I'm your host, Brian Hill. I'm on with Joanna Deshaies. If you missed the first half, it was cooking. I mean, Black Russian Label, mom, educator, entrepreneur, changing the landscape, the narrative of fashion, inclusivity. She said this years and years ago, and now people are catching up to her. That's how you blaze your own trail. Joanna, I mean, okay. We're going to go through these rapid fire questions. All I want you to do
Sounds
is,
good. Go for it.
I want you to tell me underrated or overrated. You can't give me why, though. That'll be later.
Okay.
Social media, underrated or overrated?
Underrated.
Formal education, who holds 2 master's degrees, underrated or overrated?
Ooh, underrated.
Okay. Capital, money, underrated or overrated?
Underrated.
Okay. Who you know, underrated or overrated?
Underrated.
Okay. Networking, I know the answer. Underrated or overrated?
I was going to say, you know it. Underrated.
Yeah, it is. Good old-fashioned phone conversations, underrated or overrated?
Underrated.
Okay. There it is. I love that. I just like to get like a pulse of what are quick decisions for people that have succeeded. And thank you for sharing those things, you know?
Absolutely.
So in your brand, with the proliferation of social media and what they call direct-to-consumer, mm-hmm. do you feel that Black Russian Label is a wholesale play or a retail play? If you had to guess between the two, and why?
If I had to guess between the two, I would say retail.
Okay.
But that shift is changing. You know what I mean? That we're kind of changing that dynamic just a little bit to have a nice balance. But I wanted to tell you something very quickly. You know,
sure.
at this event I was at in New York was the global strategist for TikTok. Okay.
So
he's sitting there talking about social media and they're getting ready to build a platform where you can actually sell on TikTok. And his advice was just get on there and get on there often and, you know, just showcase the behind the scenes of how you do something.
Yep.
You know what I mean? People want to see behind the curtain. And he said, if you're not on TikTok, you need to be on TikTok. They're 3 years old, Brian.
Yep.
And they have more followers and more traction than some 30-year-old other social media platforms.
Sure.
That
sure.
says something. So if you're not on TikTok as a platform, get on TikTok.
There it is. I'm writing this down. Direct to consumer, but you might be balancing a bit to wholesale. So we'll talk about the direct to consumer, this retail person. Okay. Tell me the sales platform that you guys use at Black Russian Label to get the most direct-to-consumer sales. What's the platform?
Shopify.
Shopify, okay.
I cannot tell. Yes, and let me tell you why I say that. Of course, your own website, right, which is the portal. But Shopify, because you can build some really stellar templates that make you look crisp, professional. And I even heard Shopify from all of the retailers that we were talking about. That's the advice from one of the head of marketing at Tory Burch.
Okay.
The question was, if you can't afford, you know, if you don't have, the designer said it this, if you don't have Tory Burch money, right, to create this platform, what should you use to start off? And her answer was Shopify.
Got it.
So again, when I talk about like validating the things that I'm already doing, and because it's a secure network, you can build a quick down and dirty website.
Yep.
You know what I mean? With Shopify, and it handles all of your processing, and it's a brand that people know in the marketplace.
Right.
Right. So even if you have your own website, having Shopify as the platform to, you know, conduct your retail sales is imperative.
It is. Well, I think what Shopify did was, like you and your ethos, they wrote down in the beginning, what would retailers, designers, creators need in a quick and dirty website?
Right.
And they just made those things, right? It didn't exist in the marketplace.
And it's beautiful. It just works really well.
Right, right. I love that. I love it. So you talked a little bit about social media, TikTok. Today, what social media platform do you guys use the most and why? And how are you successful there?
You know, the one I use the most is Instagram.
Okay.
And the way I'm successful there is building a strategy that separates Joanna the designer from Black Russian Label the brand.
Okay.
And then building kind of traction for each of those. Because I think a lot of times messaging can get muddled.
Sure.
You know what I mean? When you're just promoting your brand and yourself. Yes, people want to know about the designer and the designer's life, but things I may post when I'm on vacation are not relevant necessarily to the brand, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So the brand is about being on brand messaging and promoting products and, you know, that kind of a thing. But both are essential.
Yes.
And linking the two.
Yes.
Right. So linking the two so people can go between the two and say, oh, I see you're doing that and making sure the content is different. And the big thing I just recently did is I hired A La Carte Marketing, which is a social media company.
Okay.
And so people always say this to me, Brian. They're like, I have no idea. I know you don't sleep because how are you posting on all of these social media platforms? And I chuckle and I said, because I learned, right, to hire people that are better at things than I am, right?
I can do it,
but as the head of the brand, I shouldn't spend the time doing it. I should be strategizing and building more accounts and, you know, socializing with people and building partnerships and relationships. And so, you know, it's like you have to make a decision, like what things can I outsource to someone that is better at it than I am? Right, that's still aligned to the brand. So I have A La Carte Marketing for my social media, and they're amazing because they're like a small boutique, you know, on social media, and they do all kinds of brand posting and brand identities, and very affordable. I have an attorney that looks at all the contract stuff. I have an accountant that makes sure our P&Ls are in order. Can I do it? Absolutely. Do I have time to? Absolutely not. So, you know, you get people, and that's the thing as you grow, Brian. It's a strategy.
Yep.
Get people that are better at these things than you are. So Instagram, to answer your question, is the one we use the most of.
Well, I love it. I love it. Well, going back to this strategy between you, the designer, the personal side of it, and the brand. I love this because I get this a lot. I know and you know that it takes a lot of time just to run one social media, Instagram. And so what you're saying is, I'm going to show a little bit of me personally on the feed so people know that I'm a human being and this and that. And then mainly the brand.
Yep.
Out of 100% of posts, how many do you recommend percentage-wise that can be about the designer? Is it 10%, 15? If you had to guess.
If I had to guess, I would say make it a 30-70 split.
Got
70
it.
Being about the brand. 30 being about you, because and I know and I recognize that people aren't very comfortable like sharing stuff. Like I'm very, you know, mine's very curated, although it looks like I'm just, you know, so even on the personal side, I'm very selective, right, about the things that I'm posting, especially about my family and things like that, especially as my sons get older. So 30% of the time, you know, a couple of times a week, but 70% of the time, it's about marketing the brand ethos, marketing brand relationships and partnerships, events that we're doing, and things like that. And that drives, and always tagging. So here's the other thing, always tagging the personal one. So you'll always see in the BRL, the Black Russian Label post, you know, they'll tag, I am Joanna Deshay.
Yep.
So that if you do want to kind of go back and just learn more about the designer, you can.
Yep.
You know, so that's important. But I would say, you know, and sometimes depends on what it is. I mean, if there's a political issue and you kind of, you know, maybe 40%, but it really should be about the brand.
Sure.
With little sprinkling about the designer.
I love it. Well, I'm just going to just take the 70-30 and add it to boot camp.
Yes.
Because since they,
yeah,
they asked
there
us all,
you go.
I talked to an expert and the expert said 30-70. So
tell you something else. You can schedule your posts out. I don't know why people feel like they have to do it. Like, that's what Hootsuite and
yep.
some of these other products and services are. Like, we've got to get to the point, Brian, where we're working a little smarter
sure.
with our time than thinking it has to be, and schedule those things out, you know, and so that it happens and it can be posted, you know, without you having to actually push the messaging out. So if you spend the time kind of organizing and strategizing on how to push the messaging out, you won't have to do it like real time, you know,
sure.
As it's happening. So
I love that. I love that. And these, if you didn't know, are some of the same habits that you still do. Are you talking about right now? Right. You said have a strategy, which is your ethos, you know,
yep.
and you're just doing it in different parts of your business ongoing, you know, and you may or may not
Absolutely.
Realize that, but that's what I want people to really hear. So if you have any time,
yeah.
who are you following on social media? Give me a name or two that you follow that you feel they do a good job, whether it be just about social justice or design or just who are you following?
If you have not followed or seen Bozoma St. John, Boz, she calls it Badass Boz. That's
okay.
literally her handle.
Okay.
She is amazing. Sophia Chang is another one mm-hmm. that I follow.
Mm-hmm.
And pardon the cursing part, but she has a book called Baddest Bitch in the Room.
Yes.
And she is sick. She is just because she is consistent, Brian. You know what I mean? She never deviates from her messaging of inclusion. She never deviates. Same thing with Bozoma St. John. You know, she works, I think right now she's the CMO for Netflix.
Okay.
I think is where she ended up. But she was at Apple, you know what I mean? So she has been with some big, big companies. But she is unapologetic in a way that is absolutely beautiful. And she is changing the way we see women of color that are executives. That's why I just love it. And like I said, she is kicking down doors and not asking for permission, and just really who she is. Ended up being a class at Harvard, Brian.
Mm.
She taught a marketing class at Harvard all around her and how she markets herself as a brand. And it was just tremendous. So, yeah, those are the ones that I'm right now following and loving. So,
oh, those are great. And we talked earlier about some books. I would love to hear two books that you can recommend for our listeners to read to succeed. Is it Simon
okay,
Sinek? Is that
so
one?
The first one. Okay, this is one. This is one, and this is a life success book.
Okay.
This is not a, and this is, I think everyone should read, if you have not read it, is The Four Agreements. Have you read that book?
No, I have not. The Four Agreements.
Oh, Brian,
okay.
it is a must read.
Okay.
The Four Agreements. I was gonna grab this other one from here to make sure I get the name right. So Four Agreements, and it is really talking about agreements you have to make with yourself,
mm-hmm.
right, to be successful, like doing the best, right, that you can at all times. So if you've not, it's a quick read too.
Okay.
But I have gifted that book to my nieces. I have gifted that book to friends, you know, and one that it says in there that I love, Brian, is don't take anything personally. A no for today is just that. It's just that, you know what I mean? The universe is not aligned. A no for today is not a no for forever.
Yep.
You can't take it personally.
Right.
That's how most people quit, because they take it personally. Oh, they don't like me. They don't like my brand. It's just not your time. It's just not your time, and you have to be okay with it.
I love that. I love that. So
that's one.
The Four
yeah.
Agreements, I'm loving it. It's going to be tough for you to pick
and
another book.
And the second one, oh my gosh, the second one, The Power of Broke. Have
oh,
you ever heard that one?
I haven't.
Oh, yeah.
No. Power
oh, this
okay.
is amazing. The Power of Broke. He talks about the idea about as a new, you know, entrepreneur, how you, even with empty pockets, a tight budget, yep, right, how you can create a competitive advantage for your brand. So he's on Shark Tank. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's the FUBU guy for Aspire.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Damon John.
Yeah, Damon John,
and
yes.
The Power of Broke is just powerful, right? It just tells you about, because we all start with no money. It's like, with no funding coming in, people are like, oh, well, I can't do anything. Oh, my gosh, there are thousands of things you can do with no money.
Thousands.
Right? That's the beauty of social media. If you've got time, you've got commodity.
100%.
You know, 100%. If you've got time, you have got commodity. Make some videos. Talk about yourself. Start recording yourself sewing. Start building traction and a following and a reason for people to care about what you do.
Oh, I love it.
So, yeah, Power of Broke is my second one.
I got them both down on my little list. This is going to be tough. I'm always taking notes, Joanna, with all my guests, and I sprinkle all these things into my business for sure, and you'll see it. And I also let people know that when I use different books and tips and tools that I've learned on the podcast, I let my guests know as well, and it just keeps on living that way, you know? I'm going to take you back to maybe on the west coast of Africa, to the little younger Joanna. Okay, go back there.
Yes.
Everything that you know now, right, to get you this level of success you're doing right now in life, what would you tell little Joanna to get there faster? What advice?
Follow your own path, even if nobody understands it.
Okay.
I have to tell you, you know what I mean? When I started school, I wanted to study fashion, you know, in undergrad. And my mom was like, no. You know, like, that's not like sewing. It's not. And I'm like, no, I don't just want to sew. And she was like, absolutely not.
Yep.
You know, and so I wish I were brave enough then, you know, and I wish I could tell 12-year-old Joanna, you know, in West Africa, follow that path, even if others can't see the vision. That's the thing about vision. Sometimes you're the only person that can see it, sight unseen, you know, and trust in yourself. Trust in that gut that says, this is what I want to do. And if you can chase it earlier, I think you can get to this place, whatever place that is for you, a lot sooner. And then here's the beauty about it. You may get to that place, Brian, and realize that that's not for you. I work with a lot of designers, right? And they think they want to be designers until they see what designers actually do. And they're like, yeah, no, I don't want to do that. I mean, like, I would much rather not, you know, do that. It's like, okay, then you may want to be a stylist, which is still great.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You may want to write an editorial for fashion. You may want, you know, so it's all about being, you know, aligned with what it is you want to do. And I think to that 12-year-old, it's like, just chase it.
Yep.
Chase it, even if nobody else can see it.
I love it.
You know, and have faith that you're on your path.
Follow your path, trust in your gut, no matter if no one understands that path. That I love that.
Right.
And so give us a final thought, Joanna, on why people should rewire.
Okay, so I think that people should rewire because that actually is what life is all about. This life that we're in, Brian, is an evolution. Mm-hmm. And if you stay static as the environment changes, as the, you know, resources change, as the needs of the consumer change, if you're not willing to pivot in that space, you're never going to really be able to get to your true kind of aspirational self. You have to rewire because it's essential to grow.
Sure.
You have to rewire because it's essential to be able to, you know, get to where you want to be. And it also gives you an opportunity to get aligned, you know what I mean? And get aligned sooner, you know, by really kind of just thinking about who do I want to be in this space? What do I want to do? So if you fast forward, you know, 20 years, Brian, and people are talking about you and what you did, what do you want them to say?
Right.
I always get people to be like forward thinking. What do you want them to say about what you changed in this space? You know,
and
that's what we should always be doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, like evolution.
Changing all of the spaces. Yeah, that's it right there. If you're not evolving, and that's how you evolve, is by rewiring. So, you know, that's the nature of it. We got to evolve.
Got to evolve and got to rewire. And I'm going to do my Oprah best here to talk about what you're most excited about for the rest of 2022. You wouldn't give us names, but maybe you can secretly tell us a name What are you most excited about for the rest of 2022 for Black Russian Label and Joanna Deshay?
Getting into a few major retailers, partnering with some accessory brands,
okay,
and dressing some celebrities out of LA. So,
you heard she said,
I know, I'm sorry.
Robin, you know, she didn't say any names, right?
I can't.
This is the future. I want to hear it first. There's just one name you can share with us, a new stylist that's hot, or a new celebrity. Maybe you saw someone in a movie. It might not necessarily be the person you're working with, but maybe you have a favorite celebrity out there.
Well, I'll tell you the one I just met in New York, which is Ade Samuel. And she resonated with me because she's Nigerian also. Ade is a stylist, a celebrity stylist. And what I loved about what she was doing was she just did a collaboration with Macy's.
Okay.
For their Icon 360, where they're really trying to elevate designers of color. And they designed in INC Inc., which is Macy's Inc., has their own brand,
yes,
of pieces for them. And she was wearing one of them. And so it was just great to kind of hear her talk about that journey with Macy's approaching her because of the work that she does in terms of celebrity styling. So yeah, if you're not following her, Ade Samuel, amazing, amazing celebrity stylist that has a new collaborative collection with Macy's for their Icon 360 program.
I love it. Sharing other people and shining light. You do this every day as an educator, you do it for yourself, but I love how you just spread that light to a day. That's amazing. Getting into major retailers, partnering with accessory companies, and then dressing some celebrities. We can't wait to hear who they are. How can people find you?
More to come.
How can people find you online?
Well, blackrussianlabel.com.
Okay.
You can always kind of stay up to date with the brand. And the same is the handle for Instagram, Black Russian Label. And if you want to follow me personally, I am Joanna Deshay.
I love it. As always on Fashion Rewired, you can upload your free Joanna Deshay blueprint of her rewire. You can follow her exact 1, 2, 3 action steps, or simply be inspired by Joanna's life. Simply go to Instagram, go to @FashionRewired, and send me a direct message, and we'll give it to you for free. Joanna, how was it today?
Amazing. Brian, I'm so proud of you and the platform that you have created, because oftentimes designers don't know where to start, don't know how to scale, and just don't understand the nuances of building a brand. And like I said, my friend, I'm proud to know you, and thank you for what you do.
Oh, it's ditto. You know that. I'm so glad we reconnected and we're going to get this thing going again. Thank you so much. And we're out.
Thank you for joining us for our weekly 30-minute podcast focused on the business of fashion. Fashion Rewired is all about the successful transformation of your mind, perspective, and daily approach to your fashion brand. Make sure you listen next week for the Fashion Rewired podcast with Brian Hill.